Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you to our service with Pleasant Hill Brethren. When our children were young, every Easter morning, we got a call from my physical sister, Joanne. And as soon as we lifted it up, we heard a recording of a song with these lyrics. And I'm just going to the chorus. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. Oh, he's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. What good news in the midst of the darkness. Jesus is alive. Sister Miriam will lead the children in two or three songs. And then Brother Micah will have a devotional for pre-teens. Sister Miriam, come and lead the children in some songs.
Hi, boys and girls. This morning I chose two songs that have to do with the love of Jesus, because it's because of his great love that he came to die so that we can have life. So the first one is Jesus Loves Me, and we're going to do the second verse along with it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died. Heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Okay, the next song is The Love of Jesus is So Wonderful. So you can stand up if you're sitting and do the motions with me. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love.
Okay, good morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to be here and everyone where they are at their homes. And yeah, it's just, I'm reminded again how amazing it is that we can all be worshiping the same God, and it don't matter where we're at. It's been very neat lately as we look around and see spring and signs of new life. And yeah, it goes good, you know, with Easter and the celebration of new life that you know, Jesus had on the third day. I don't necessarily specifically have a devotional maybe geared towards Easter, but I kind of thought about it a little too late, but that's all right. As I was thinking about a topic to give a devotional on, I had to think about the age group that these devotionals are geared for, and I realized that this is a time in your life where you're starting to transition from childhood to adulthood. And it's an exciting time. I also think, though, along with that comes some challenges and different things. It might it's a time where maybe you're trying to figure out who you are, what your purpose is in life, who you are in God. Maybe you start noticing things more about yourself, like what you look like and what skills you have and other things like that. However, I thought how different times it's easy, to look around at others as well and see things about them and compare yourself. And many times, you can be tempted to, compare yourself to others and really wish that you were like them or you had this skill that they had or looked like them. And maybe you don't like the way you look, or maybe you wish you had a different color, different color hair, or maybe you think you're too short, and the list could go on and on. We all have, thinking of abilities. Maybe you wish you were smarter at school, more intelligent, better at sports. Maybe it's you wish you could make friends better. The list could go on and on. And like I said, sometimes as you look around, you can see all these other people who seem to have it together, or have things that you really wish you had. And we have a tendency that we can easily become jealous. And specifically jealous within the fact that you wish you were like somebody else, or you could do the things they did, so jealousy in that aspect. I had to think of some different examples in scripture. I'm going to read a couple here. The first one was Joseph and his brothers. His brothers were, I think, had some jealousy towards him. So I'm going to read a couple of verses here. It's going to be in Genesis 37, 3 to 11. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams, and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And notice the last verse here, verse 11. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So you see here that, Joseph's father, it says there in the first verse we read that, he loved Joseph more than his brothers. And I think it's safe to say that his brothers were probably noticed that and were jealous. And you can see, of course, the story goes, they eventually sold him into slavery. And you can see how destructive jealousy can be. It can produce a lot of bitterness and hatred. And then the second example I thought of in scripture was Saul and David, Saul's jealousy towards David. So I want to read a couple verses quickly in 1 Samuel 18, verses 5 through 9. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And so you see here again, Saul, it looks like he has quite a bit of jealousy towards David and the glory that David was getting, as the people were ascribing more success to David than to Saul, and more honor maybe. So I guess the remainder of the time here, I wanted to talk a little bit, had some questions I was going to ask, and then we're going to try to answer them a little bit. So I had a couple questions. First off, what is jealousy? Next one, why do we deal with jealousy? And then the next one is, how does jealousy affect us? And then finally, why we do not need to be jealous. Okay, so that first one, let's look at what is jealousy? And I think I had to think about this. I think jealousy is when we're not satisfied. We know we can look around and not, when we're not focusing on what we have and as, it being enough, and we can look around and become dissatisfied, as I was saying in the beginning, especially with looking at other people and what we wish we had of them, or the list could go on. And I think also, when we're jealous, it can be maybe a little prideful. I think it can be part of that. So then the next one, why do we deal with jealousy? And I think one reason we deal with jealousy is because Satan tries to, sow doubts and get us dissatisfied. He tries to get us to become dissatisfied by looking around and seeing the things that we do not have, or that we wish we had. And an example of that was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, I believe, with the fall there. God said they could eat of all the trees except the one, and Satan sowed those doubts and kind of gave them something, made them dissatisfied to make them want something else that they didn't have. And of course, we know the story that they took, and yet it again jealousy that the destruction, and it caused death and sin. The next one, how does jealousy affect us? And I think jealousy, at least in my life, I dealt with a lot of different times, different jealousy and stuff, and towards other people, and thinking that I wish I had. Could do things they could do and stuff, and it consumes us. Jealousy consumes us. At least I feel like that was the case, that was how it was in my case. It kind of controls your whole being. It's all you can think about, and it can really discourage you, and it just kind of consumes you. And going along with that, it can make you very miserable when you're always looking at what you don't have or wish you had. And like I said, sometimes it's all you can think about and makes you really down. It can also, when we are jealous towards what other people have or wish we had, it can prevent us from being all that God created us to be. God created each of us perfect, and each one of you is created just how He wanted you. And when you start looking around and comparing and allowing that those desires and dissatisfaction of who you are, as God created you to be, it prevents you from serving God to your fullest potential. And the last section here is why we do not need to be jealous. And I want to read some verses out of Psalm 139, probably familiar to most of us. Verses 13 through 18. For thou hast possessed my inward parts, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So I think that's a very, very good verse to remember. How it shows us how, you know, God created each of us individually. You know, that's, you know, I think each of us can apply that verse to our own selves and realize that, you know, God made us exactly how he wanted us to, and we are made made perfect. So, like I said, we're going to go over a couple more things here with what, you know, why we don't need to be jealous. some of them, you know, go along with these verses I just read. First one here was, God made us, so God made us, and if we think that, you know, there is something wrong with us, we are basically saying that God has made a mistake. And maybe you heard someone say that before, but I think it's very true. When we start, you know, wishing we had something else, or we weren't made like we were, I think it's basically saying that, you know, God didn't know what he was doing, and he did. He made each of us just the way we are supposed to be, and there's nothing wrong with how he made us. The second thing I thought of here is each one of us is made in the image of God, and that's just such a special thought to think about. We are made in the image of God. That makes each of us so special. It is also okay to be different. Not just okay, but it's good. It's good to have variety. And I'm glad that we're not all the same, because that would be very boring. If we were all had the same strength, same abilities, looked all the same. And I had to think of an example, like say in a factory, let's say it's a car factory, they're making cars, you know, it's an assembly line. You know, the owners, the operators of that factory, they want every car to look exactly the same. They, you know, they think it's problems when there's inconsistencies between each, you know, as the car's moving down the assembly line. You know, as humans, that's not how it is one bit. And I had to also think on the other side of that, you know, as humans, we are more like, a painting or, you know, a masterpiece where there's only one original, one of a kind, nothing else like it. And I think that's how we should be, you know, seeing ourselves, because we are one of a kind and made in the image of God. And so, yeah, God wants you to know that you are created perfect, and you have everything you need to do the job that God has designed for you to do. Just want to challenge you to remember that no one else can take your place. You are unique, and that is wonderful. And as I said, you know, from my experience, it can be difficult to, I don't know, truly believe that who you are and what you know, how God made you is enough. It's very easy to want something else. But I just want to challenge you to remember that God does not make mistakes. You are created perfectly. There is nothing wrong with you. And to just embrace that and be thankful for that. And, you know, found in my life, it really has freed me to be, you know, brings more fulfillment and joy. So, yeah, again, just want to remind everyone that nobody's a mistake. Everybody is created perfectly. So,
thank you, Micah, for those words that every one of us, not just a 10 to 15-year-olds, can apply to our lives. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. Praise the Lord. Last week, we had two people from Costa Rica join us. So we welcome everyone from Costa Rica and from Maine and Idaho and Alaska and Ukraine, and those of you in Pennsylvania, to our service with Pleasant Hill Brethren. I want you to say the words with me of this song. So those of you here on the couple here on these benches, and those of you in the home, it's the song, Because He Lives. I want you to say the chorus with me together. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Maybe you just had a baby or you're expecting soon, and you wonder, what kind of world am I bringing this child into? Is there hope? How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Let's say it together. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Our announcements and prayer concerns, a note from Carl and Dawn. We would like to thank all who prayed for Neil and Darla. We would like to praise God for his leading and direction in their lives and bringing them safely back to the States over the pandemic. Please continue to pray for them as they desire to be back in China where God has called them to. What a mighty God we serve. He is risen indeed. Brother Gerald and Sister Dorothy Remold want to express their thanks for the cards that you sent them and also for your prayers. And they ask that you pray for Dorothy on Thursday because she's going to be going for an infusion. Let's continue to pray for one another. You know, the Bible talks a lot about one another. Let's pray for one another that through this crisis, God would protect us. Pray that our relationship with God would grow. And also pray that we would continue to realize what is really important in life. Remember those in our church who are on the front lines helping people through this crisis. The Brethren Home is now not allowing those in cottages to go anywhere on campus or even have anyone to their cottages. So let's continue to keep up the good work of encouraging our older members and even some of maybe our younger mothers by phone calls, cards. And we had asked that you do it 2 a week, and I know a lot of you did that, but I'm encouraging you maybe to step up the plate a little bit more and consider 3 phone calls or cards a week. We are having trouble putting one-call messages on, and the only way we can do this is to go online, type in a message, and then a computer-generated voice named Mike puts out the calls. We hope to get rid of Mike as soon as possible. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we will use the call-in line to play a sermon from the past. So tune in tonight, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock. There will be a live CBE class on Friday evening, April 17th at 7 o'clock p.m. on Interpreting the Bible, taught by Brother Paul Shirk. And how many of us, all of us, need to learn more about how to interpret the Bible? So it will be on the call-in line as well as live streamed. Because we did not have a physical Good Friday meeting, we missed the Torion offering. So you can give your checks to Torion, to Brother Mike Miller. You can mail them, and we have a local church offering scheduled for today. If you want to give to that, you can. If you're having financial trouble, and this is especially for the parents of Pleasant Hill Christian School, if you're having trouble making tuition payments, I was reminded that we have the TAP Fund, and that the TAP Fund is designed to help parents who are paying tuition to get through any kind of financial crisis. So if you need help from the TAP Fund, please contact Brother Mike Miller or Andy Newcomer if there is a need. Also, Brother Andy said that they will waive the late fee during this time. Next Sunday evening, April 19th, Lord willing, is our spring praise. This year we plan to have Brother Steve Fodor share testimony of how God rescued him and his family from the ravages of World War II and their escape from Yugoslavia. I remember hearing the testimony how his dad had to disguise himself to get on the train to take his family out of Yugoslavia. And you're going to hear how his grandmother was put in front of a firing squad to be executed and what she told the soldiers. Part one of this pre-recorded message is April 19th at 7 o'clock p.m. Put that on your calendar. Part one of this pre-recorded message is April 19th at 7 o'clock p.m. I want to encourage all of us to read out loud together Psalm 91, verses 1 to 10 at 8 o'clock p.m. this Wednesday evening. And even though we are not together, we can read out loud together Psalm 91, verses 1 to 10 at 8 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening. And I think this is a scripture a lot of you school students from Pleasant Hill have that memorized. And so probably a lot of you parents do too. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Matt Furman to have opening devotions.
Good morning, church, on this Resurrection Sunday. Jesus entered this world to bring freedom and life. His resurrection celebrates that he accomplished what he set out to do, and we praise God for that. I got that out of the devotional, the Daily Bread devotional. There's a lot of change right now. Our church service has changed. It can be nervous, it can be fearful, but we can look to scriptures and see lots of things that will not change. And I don't want to take any time from Glenn this morning, or more than I should, but I'm going to read a few verses for us to think about as we just think about the change that is around us, and we can go to God's Word and see things that will not change. 1 Corinthians 15, I want to read verses 55 through 58. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Verse 57 there talks about victory. He giveth us the victory. He wants us to be victorious, and we can still be victorious in these times. Verse 58 tells us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we can still do that during these times that we are experiencing. His desire for us to be victorious has not changed. Another simple verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That has not changed. The coronavirus cannot change his care for us. Brother Glenn has asked that we read from John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 17 through 29. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. With these verses on our mind, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we come into your presence here this morning on this resurrection day, this day that we celebrate you rising from the dead and defeating death, the day when you fulfilled what you came to this earth to do, and that you give us all life and hope and victory. And we just thank you for what you have done for each one of us. None of us were worthy of this, and we are just grateful, and we praise your name for just coming into this world. And we know that things have changed drastically in our lives, and things are different, but we can still gather in a different way and can still worship you, and we have the freedom to do that, and we thank you for that. We know around the world there are many who are persecuted, and I just want to pray for them that they would be strengthened this day to remain faithful to you. Help us to remain faithful as we go about each and every day. There are concerns among us with Dorothy Remold. I just pray that you would pour in your healing touch in her life, and that you would minister to her and to Gerald, and just be with them in a special way. And we want to thank also the Bear family. I just pray that you would continue to strengthen them and be with them and encourage them through this time, and especially this day here. It's a day that families normally would get together and have a meal together. Just pray that you would bless them this day. I just want to pray especially for Glenn now as he comes to bring your word. Just pray that you would bless him and strengthen him, give him power from on high, and pray that we would all be encouraged and strengthened as we go from this place to serve you and to let our light shine, that others would see you and glorify you, our Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Before Brother Glenn comes up to preach, Brother Glenn Miller, we plan to have Brother Matt lead us in the Life of Christ medley, and I appreciate the courage of Brother Matt being willing to lead this with only eight people here to help him along. At Pleasant Hill, we sing this every Easter Sunday and every Sunday nearest to Christmas, so Easter and Christmas. We do it to help us see the whole panorama of Christ's life, from the baby in the manger to the coming King of Kings. So for those of you who aren't familiar with this, that are listening from far away, we're going to sing one verse of Away in the Manger, his birth, then Man of Sorrows, his crucifixion, then Up from the Grave He Arose, his resurrection, then the course of He is Lord, Christ in the church age, then all hail the power, His coming again. One verse of each. When we get to the course of up from the grave He arose, we're going to stand here, a couple of us here, and in your homes, we invite you to stand. When we get to the course of up from the grave He arose, please sing along in your houses, in your homes. Please sing praise to the risen Lord. Brother Matt.
Oh, me soul, away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Low in the grave He lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all.
Greetings. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus also said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. My sermon title this morning is Two Resurrections. Which one will we answer to? Two resurrections, and we will only answer to one of them. Before going into my sermon text, I want to share Matthew's account of the resurrection, that first glorious resurrection morning when Jesus of Nazareth defied death and the grave and arose and came out of that sepulcher. All four Gospels record this glorious resurrection morning when the grave could not hold Jesus and death had no power over him. Here is Matthew's account in chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Today, as we live our lives in 2020, you may have fears, you may have uncertainties, and there certainly are uncertainties in this world that we live in, with plagues and with diseases, and no one knowing how it'll all come out and what will come next. We can have great joy because Jesus is alive, and the grave did not keep him. But he came forth with all power, and he lives for us today and intercedes for us at the right hand of God, and he is coming again. And so with these women who went to that tomb early in the morning on the first day of the week, they were told to have great joy, and they had great joy, and so can we. The truth in God's word assures us that Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross, was buried, and that he rose again. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a very well-documented historical fact. Josh McDowell, an intellectual man, set out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as he dug into the facts and the historical evidence, he ended up with a wall of evidence, a mountain of evidence that he could not ignore. And Josh McDowell, who did not want to believe in Jesus Christ, he did not want to believe in God, he wanted to disprove the resurrection, he became converted and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One more scripture before we go to John chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to read several verses there. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you the first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then in verse 12 of this same chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul mentions that some in his day and there in that time of the early church, some did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Paul then gives a picture or a scenario of what that would be like in verses 13 through 19 of 1 Corinthians 15, and that I want to read. 1 Corinthians 15, 13 through 19, But if there is be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And then we come to the greatest and most powerful but in all of Scripture. But in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is alive. The grave did not keep him, and death did not conquer him. Two resurrections this morning. And our text is in John chapter 5, where Brother Matt read from. First of all, I want to ask a question, and I believe we need to all ask this question, and we need to answer it correctly. Answering this question correctly is very, very important. Who is this Jesus that the grave could not hold him and death could not conquer him? Who is he? Who is his person? It is very important that this question is answered correctly. In John chapter 5, get back here to John chapter 5, and I want to reread several verses here that Brother Matt read for us. John chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," and I want you to notice that verily, verily, we find them in the book of John. We find single verilies in some of the other gospels. "Truly, truly, amen, amen." I believe Jesus is saying, "I have something so important to tell you that you do not dare miss it. You cannot afford to miss the truth of what I'm about to say. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, giveth them life, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." I want to read some more scriptures here about who Jesus is. We need to answer this question very correctly. John chapter 8, verses 42 and 43. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Also in that same chapter of Scripture, John 8, verses 56 to 58, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Also, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 30 to 33. "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Also in John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Jesus Christ is deity. He is divine. He is God come into flesh, the incarnation. A few more scriptures regarding the person of Jesus Christ. And I go to 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Also verses 9 through 12 of 1 John chapter 5. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Also, verse 20 of that chapter, 1 John 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is who Jesus Christ is. The giver of eternal life, God came in the flesh, the incarnation, deity. He has all divinity within him. Hallelujah. I want you to remember this morning Peter's tremendous declaration in John chapter 6. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. When the risen Lord visited the disciples that first time after the resurrection, Thomas was absent. Thomas was absent from that first meeting when the resurrected Lord visited those disciples who were huddled together in fear in a private place, I believe behind locked doors. Jesus appeared to them, but Thomas was not there. And then the Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, unto Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he, Thomas, said back to them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And the Bible tells us that 8 days later, the resurrected Lord of life visited his disciples again, and this time Thomas was among them. Thomas was there. And we read on here. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He saw the nail prints in the hands of Jesus. He saw the wound in his side where he was pierced with a sword. And he said, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that is each one of you this morning who believes on the blessed name of Jesus Christ, the one who came forth with all victory and power from the dark domain. Praise his holy name. Jesus is divine. This is made very, very, very clear in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you look at that in the Greek text, Jesus' divinity could not be made any more clear. Back to our text in John chapter 5. Very important that you recognize who Jesus Christ is. He came from God. He came as God in the flesh. And he is divine. Again, our text in John chapter 5, I want to read verses 24 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. All shall hear the voice of the Son of God. No one is going to act like they're deaf in that day. No one is going to act like they are hard of hearing. Those who have sank to the depths of the sea, who have miles of water over top of them, they're going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they are going to come forth. Those who were torn apart and devoured by wild animals, they're going to hear and they're going to respond. Those who were burned at the stake for their faith in Jesus Christ, they are going to come back and they are going to respond to that voice of God, the Son of God. Those who were cremated in a vain attempt to escape the wrath of God and the judgment of God, they are going to hear the voice of the Son of God and they are going to come forth. No one is going to get out of this. All shall hear his voice, the Bible says. Verse 29 makes it very clear in God's word here. John chapter 5, verse 29 makes it very clear that there are going to be two resurrections. The one we find in the book of Revelation is referred to clearly as the first resurrection. I don't see in Scripture where the other one is referred to as the second resurrection, but for clarity in this message, I might refer to the other one as the second resurrection, the one that is clearly connected to the second death. Whereas the first resurrection is clearly connected to life that the Son of God gives to those who have faith in him and who have their lives under his domain and control. The first resurrection, they that have done good, the resurrection of life, we find here in John 5, verse 29. I want to read for us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 concerning the resurrection of the dead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 and through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And may the Lord comfort the Bear family and the Mummert family right now with these words. And any of you out there who have recently laid aside loved ones, I want you to take comfort in the Word of God here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Another scripture I want to share is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So whether we're, even when we're saved and we go to our earthly grave in a saved condition, right with our God and our Creator, we are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give a sober account of how we have handled our opportunities, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our opportunities to serve our Lord and our Savior in this life here on this earth. We will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This resurrection of life is called the first resurrection in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. And I want to read that for us. Revelation chapter 20 and verses 4 to 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Obviously, not all of the dead have been risen at this point in time, because the Bible says very clearly here in Revelation 25, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. The 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, a glorious time when those who are with Jesus Christ, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, will reign with him. And so the first resurrection of the saved of all ages takes place before the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And all who have part in this first resurrection, the Bible says here, are blessed and holy and will enjoy the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Revelation 20, verse 5 makes it very clear that the rest of the dead will not live again until the 1,000 years are finished. And I will call that, when those dead do arise at the voice of the Son of God, I will call that the second resurrection. Remember John chapter 5, verse 29, our text. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I believe we read about this resurrection of damnation in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 13. And I believe this refers back to all the dead who lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished there in verse 5. Reading verses 11 through 13 of Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. This is a time of divine judgment. It is the wrath of God for the sins of men who have not repented of those sins, who did not get right with their Creator. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. A very, very sobering portion of Scripture. This second resurrection, this resurrection of those who have done evil, they have not repented of their sins, they have not availed themselves to the glorious plan of salvation that God foreordained from the foundation of the world, that Jesus would come and offer himself a spotless, perfect, pure lamb as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. They have not done that. They have rebelled against God. They have hidden their sins, or they have even lived them in them openly. They have not repented. And here we have an account of their resurrection. And it is so terrible a judgment at the great white throne that all would desire to flee from God's holy presence, but they cannot. They cannot. The 1,000-year millennial reign separates these two resurrections. The resurrection that is on the life of those that have done good. They have submitted their lives to Jesus Christ. They have died being faithful to him and to his calling. There is 1,000 years between that resurrection and the resurrection of those who are condemned forever. Continuing on there in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. This is God's word. God's word is truth. And we must take heed to it and make preparation that we might live forever with the resurrected Lord and not be banished into outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Take heed today while there is opportunity. We have here in Revelation 20, 14 and 15, we have a definition of the second death. It was mentioned in verse 6 of our scripture here in Revelation chapter 20, where it says, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. And then here in verse 14 of Revelation 20, we have this definition. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. We find the definition once more of the second death in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. The second death is not physical death. The second death is not annihilation. The second death is clearly described here and defined for us very plainly in Scripture that it is the lake of fire. This is the second death. And the second death hath no power over those who are holy and blessed because they are taking part in the first resurrection. But it does have all power and judgment upon those who miss that first resurrection and hear the voice of the Son of God when they are called to condemnation because they have condemned themselves in rejecting God's plan of salvation. The sinners listed in Revelation 21:8 will not be found in the book of life. Even church members who were proud and did not confess and repent of sin but lived the life of the hypocrite will not be found in the book of life and will be cast into the lake of fire where they will forever be in torment with the devil and his angels for which hell was prepared. My friend, this morning, which resurrection will you take part in? When will you hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth? There is that voice right now. That voice is telling you right now, submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you. I have died for you. You know, a lot of times we hear John 3:16. And a lot of times we don't hear the verses that follow it. The golden text, you know it very well. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, for he hath believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In conclusion, on these thoughts on the two resurrections on this glorious resurrection morning, I want to share with you the last two verses of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 34, 35, and 36. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Sinner friend, the choice is yours. Make the right choice today and get on your knees before your God and your Creator and before the Lord of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess your sins, confess your need of the Savior, and ask Jesus to come into your life and save you for all of eternity. And you can take part in that first resurrection, that blessed resurrection of those who have made their peace with God. And no matter what this world brings, no matter what plague, no matter what disease, no matter what invisible enemy, you can have great joy and you can have peace in your heart, knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ hath washed them away, never to be remembered again, and that you can hear the voice of the Son of God and be called up higher into the glorious realms of Jesus Christ and heaven. God bless you, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we humbly come before your mighty and awesome and holy presence. And we are so thankful that we can come in the name of Jesus. We come in the name of the one who lives, was dead, and behold is alive forevermore, has the keys of hell and of death, the resurrection and the life. God, you are mighty. Lord Jesus, you are mighty. You're God, you're divine, you're glorious in battle. You have come forth, you have been victor. You have become the first fruits of them that slept. Oh God, we look forward to seeing you. We look forward to being like you. We look forward to that time when this corruption must put on incorruption, when this mortal must put on immortality. We look forward to that time when death is swallowed up into victory for all time, and that final enemy of death is defeated, as Jesus Christ has paved the way, breaking loose from the bonds of death. And that great stone that man thought would keep him there was simply rolled out of the way, and the Lord of life came forth, and the tomb was empty that first resurrection morning. God, we praise you. And God, we pray for the audience this morning who hath heard the word of God. Lord, that those who are your followers, your sons and daughters, might be rejoicing evermore. Even those who have laid aside loved ones recently. Oh Lord, that we would be comforted by your words, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which remain and shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank you, Father, for that coming day. Thank you for the glorious hope that is ours as your children. Thank you for the faith that you have given us in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for that life that you have given in place of our deadness, the deadness of sins that was in us. Thank you, Father, that we may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh God, help us to yield and be conformed unto the likeness of his death. God bless those who are listening who have not made their peace with God. I pray, God, that this resurrection day would be a brand new day, a brand new start, a glorious day in their lives, Father, that they would go forth in the rest of this day with hope, with joy unspeakable. Oh, God, touch their hearts and lives, that they would yield and that they would invite you into their hearts and lives as Savior and Lord. Thank you, Father, for all you have done, for your great love on Calvary. You took my place there. You took the place of every human being. When you bore the stripes, you were wounded for my transgressions. Oh, God, thank you. We are healed by his stripes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name that we give you thanks. And let's pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. The Lord just give you a wonderful day, and we hope to see you soon.